The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. And he said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" And they replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But then Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The Gospel of the Lord. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. That is the line that is part of every marriage ceremony right after the couple exchanges their vows. And for me, even when I speak it, it seems very powerful. It implies that God brought these two people together, that God called them, and God has joined them together, and God is with them. But you know, I wonder. I know many people really discern their husband or wife through prayer, but I also think, not sure, I've never done statistics, many don't. And I remember times in preparing young couples who come to me to be married, a conversation I have on the first meeting that goes something like this. And forgive me, I'm kind of a weird person. And so I will say to them, "It's great that you want to get married. This process of marriage preparation is a discernment process in which we try to hear if it's God's will that you get married. And so if during this process we discern that God is not calling you to get married, will you break up?" On a first meeting, that's what I say. It's terrible, isn't it? And you know what I often get? I usually always get, "Oh no, Father, because we're in love." Very understandable. But as I think through those words, what about you? In a way, they're saying, you know what? Doesn't matter what God thinks. We want to get married. Now, it turns out we humans are hard of heart. We often work that way throughout life and everything, right? We do things our way and then later on recognize that God has a different way, but he was still there all along. And so, it's not a bad thing. But marriage truly is a call. It's instituted by God, and he calls people into it for a purpose. What would be that purpose? Well, you know I'm not married, and you know I'm not God, but I think this is God's purpose. At least this is the theology. In Genesis, we hear a beautiful explanation that a word that was used for man is put asleep and becomes man and woman. But in the original Hebrew, the word that we translate as man is really not man. It's a neuter term, neither masculine nor feminine. And then God puts the earth creature to sleep, and from that sleep creates then man, a word that's masculine, and woman, a word that's feminine. And so you see, from the one, God creates two. Why? You maybe guessed, but we are created in God's image and likeness, right? St. John tells us God is love. But love needs a beloved. It needs to be expressed. We must be in loving relationships to reflect the image in which God created us to love. And so man and woman are called in love together, and the two become one flesh. What was once one becomes two, but through loving sacrifice and mutual self-giving one to another, totally, body, soul, and spirit, they become one flesh. They transform into something that's better than each of them. They become more whole and more loving and less selfish through that relationship. And there's more, because a marriage is more than just love. It is faithful love. And so it is a promise to be faithful and to give myself totally to just one other person. And it's also open to new life. It's no coincidence that Jesus says, "Let the children come unto me," right after this passage on marriage. When God so loved the world, he created the world. His love was fruitful. It produced other parts of creation. And so a marriage is love, faithfully pledged, mutually pledged to one another, that's open to new life. And from that love comes life, not only in children, but in works and deeds and fruitfulness. And this God has instituted as the central block of humanity, a way we were created, because that is how we express the image in which God created us. And so marriages are very holy. They are a means of sanctification for the couple by which they become more loving, more like God. And so our marriages are very important. And a couple, as I mentioned, might come to me in marriage preparation. Statistics show that those who go through marriage preparation, a discernment process, are much, 50, 60, 70% more likely to stay together throughout life. And that process shouldn't end with the marriage. Marriage is a lifelong job. And it becomes actually more difficult as life goes on often, as we have many distractions, much busyness, and maybe that honeymoon feeling seems to wear off. And so we must throughout life work on our marriages, put that first for married couples, have date nights, go on ministries together, pray together. There's a wonderful ministry for marriages in the Catholic Church called Marriage Encounter. Regular four times a year. There's one coming up in November. But to continually work on our marriage. And that's not selfish, because as couples relate to each other and love better, give of themselves better to each other, communicate better, that overflows into their family, their children, their church, and their world. And so marriages are important. They're the means of sanctification. God brings people together, whether we know it or not, and God is with them to help them grow in holiness. But you see, in the end, We're all going to die. See, I told you I was weird. And so as beautiful and as important as marriage is in this world, it's not the end of our lives. It's only the means to our end. And so far, I've only talked about married people as if marriage was the only way to live, but we know it's not. There are weird people like me who are religious brothers and sisters or priests. There are single people. God calls us all to be married to Jesus. And that's our first and most important marriage above all things. And our marriages here on earth are only a training ground for our participation in a greater marriage. Learning how to be a better spouse of each other helps us learn how to be a better spouse of Jesus. And so you'll find in Scripture many beautiful passages. In the Old Testament, it's prophesied through Isaiah that we, Israel, will marry its maker. In the New Testament, Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom. John the Baptist is referred to as the best man who's pointing out the bride. Many of the parables are of wedding feasts. The book of Revelation talks about the wedding feast of the Lamb. But of all the teachings in the New Testament about why Jesus is our bridegroom, my favorite is one that most people miss, because it's read at funerals. John chapter 14. Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled, because in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And then I will come back and bring you to where I am, so that where I am you may be." That's a beautiful image of life after death, and that's why we use it at funerals. But it's really an marriage image that Jesus is using. In the time of Jesus, marriages went something like this. A family would arrange for a young man to marry a young woman, and it would all be worked out behind the scenes by their parents. And then the father of the bride, or the father of the groom, would say to the young man, "We want you to go marry so-and-so. Go to her and propose." He would be sent from his father's house to his bride's house. He would propose to her, and if she accepted, they would drink a glass of wine. He would pay the dowry with the family and work out the contract. Then he would go back to his father's house, build a house, and when the father said, "That house is ready, and you're mature enough now to be a husband and a father, go get your bride." So at a time, the bride does not know. He goes and takes her, brings her back to her father's house. They consummate their marriage, and then a wedding feast breaks out, and they live forever in their father's house. This is what Jesus says he has done for us. His Father in heaven sent him to marry us, to choose us, to woo us into relationship with him. He proposes to us and gives of himself totally on the cross. Body, soul, divinity. If we accept, we say yes in our baptism. When we make our vows to be one with Christ, a member of his body. The two become one flesh. And throughout our life, we grow because we are heart of heart into oneness with Christ. But it isn't completed until we, like Christ, pour ourselves out completely in faithful love to him, trust, open to new life, birth into heaven. And then we are united with our God in heaven, fully perfected. That is the process in the marriage in which we're all involved. And Jesus not only gave himself to us on the cross, but that sacrifice is perpetuated through all time and space in the sacrament of the Eucharist. His body, soul, and divinity present for us in a very intimate way. When we receive it, it enters us, becomes one with us, and transforms us from the inside out to be more like our beloved Christ. And so we're all called to marriage. First, a marriage with Christ, and that's a lifelong job. And then to discern whether we're called to be single, whether we're called to marry another human being and grow in our sanctity and our relationship with each other, but through that, Christ, or to be a religious sister, brother, or priest, and to give that same faithful love to his bride, the church. And so let us, as we come to receive the sacrament today, let us renew our marriage vows to Christ in baptism, give ourselves totally to him again, and receive him and become one with him, and he will transform us into what we receive, his very body and blood, so that we may love like he loves. Without that, we cannot do it. Our marriages will fail, our relationships will fail as single people or in church, if we only love with the human love of our hardened hearts. God's love works through us and perfects us and those around us and brings new life into the world. Children, but also children of God.